Welcome to the Canon Cast, a weekly podcast from the Canon, an SB Nation blog covering your Columbus Blue Jackets. I'm your host, PD, and I'm joined this week by Rachel Buells. How's it going, Rachel?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. We had a massive power outage here on the south side of Columbus, but power just came back on, and fingers crossed that it stays through the recording here. I was afraid we're gonna have to record by candlelight, just like our forefathers podcasted. Sunday marked the one-year anniversary of the blockbuster trade where the Blue Jackets dealt away Pierre-Luc Dubois, and in return, they got Patrick Laine and Jack Rozovic. It was a year ago. It seems like much, much longer ago than that. We're already on our second season since then. Pierre-Luc Dubois, he had just 20 points in 41 games last season for Winnipeg. This season's going much better for him. He has 17 goals, 12 assists in 38 games, so he's on pace to easily double his production. Jack Rozovic was a surprising gem of the trade. He had 12 goals, 22 assists in 48 games last year. Career highs, despite it being a shortened season for him. This year, though, just 6 goals, 10 assists in 38 games. Patrick Laine had 10 goals, 11 assists in 45 games for Columbus last year. Very hot and cold season for him there. This season, he started out with 10 points in his first 9 games, got hurt. Since he's come back, just 3 goals and 2 assists in 11 games since then. So, Rachel, a year out, what are your thoughts on that trade? Does it still look like a good trade, a bad trade, or kind of what you thought was going to happen at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a loaded question, of course, because there's so many different moving parts to this. I am a public and proud PLD supporter. I was sad to see him go. I understood that his chemistry with the team was not working. So I'm glad. I really like Laine and Rozovic as additions to the team. Laine's just, God, I mean, he's been going through it this season, having lost his dad suddenly. And I think all of that considered, he still is, his production has been looking excellent lately. I, like, if I'm being honest, and I go to all the home games and watch most of the away games, like, I kind of had forgotten about Rozovic. Like, he had just become pretty, like, he wasn't doing anything. And then just last week, I read the Athletics piece on how he's been kind of tanking, and I was like, oh, man, like, how have I not been paying attention? But yeah, I mean, he just has become kind of, we're like, I feel like when I see Laine on the ice, whether he's performing well or he's not, I'm like noticing him. Like Rozovic just kind of fell off the radar for me, which sucks, because when I feel like kind of it's a, oh, how the turntables have turned kind of scenario, where at the top of the trade, when it started, like Rozovic was this, you know, back to Columbus, like shining star. Yeah, kind of the gem of that trade. And it's not that it's totally flipped, but he is certainly not keeping up with his production. I don't know if expectations is the right word, maybe potential.
Sure.
And I think Laine is just doing the best he can with a lot of other circumstances happening in his life. I think that both of them have a lot of room for improvement, obviously. But to me, Laine has been the most impactful of that trade. And frankly, I have no idea how PLD is doing up in Winnipeg. I haven't been keeping like close tabs, but I hope he's doing okay. I think it was a successful trade, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So yeah, PLD has definitely, you know, it was a rough start for him in Winnipeg last year, but this season he's been back to the PLD that he was in Columbus, you know, what we always expected from him. Winnipeg themselves, they are, as a team, are having some struggles there. Their coach, you know, stepped down midseason. It's looking like it's going to be an uphill battle for them to get back to the playoffs. But PLD's having a great year. And all three of these players are restricted free agents this summer. So it'll be interesting to see what their next contracts look like. I think PLD is looking like he's going to earn himself probably another step up from his current contract. Lonnie and Roslovic, though, not so much. So then the question becomes, do Lonnie and Roslovic have a future in Columbus? You know, is it worth committing to either of these guys long term based on what we've seen from them? So it sounds like you're maybe still pretty positive on both of these guys as long term pieces. Is that correct?
I would say that if I had to pick a long term piece, it would be Line A. I would say maybe Roslovic. And I don't know, because I don't like to be a negative Nancy about any of these guys, because I watch them play a lot. Not, you know, so does everyone who listens to this podcast, but like, I love watching them. They're so fun together on the ice. They're like with each other and with everyone else. Like, I don't think that they're having like team chemistry issues, but like, I just don't know if Roslovic has a long-term future of success with the team like Line A could possibly have. I think Line A is just in a place where he just needs to tweak a couple elements of his games and tighten a couple things up. I feel like when he's good, he's great, but when he's bad, it's noticeable. Yeah. And also I feel like he tends to fall apart with the team, like where you have guys like Boone Jenner who like pick it up and, you know, are a one man show. Like when the rest of the team is flailing, I feel like when the team flails and doesn't do well, like Line A is like leading the pack. So I don't know. So that being said, like to just say I want a fair weather player out of Line A like long term also doesn't make sense. So I don't really want to see either of them go. I'm not so like married to the idea of like, oh, he's a Columbus guy, like he needs to be here, whatever. I mean, we're chock full of those guys. So if Roslovic had a better chance at, you know, they're both so young, playing with another team, then I think that could maybe be a good fit for him. But I would like to see Line A stick around for a little bit longer, because I just don't think that his potential has been fully unlocked yet. And I just think he's had a lot of extraneous stuff going on that is certainly impacting his mental state and his play, and he can't help that. So,
yeah, I agree with that, that Line A is definitely the better long-term bet, just because he has some elite talent. And Jack Roslovic, I think, is a nice role player type, and he certainly has offensive skill, but not at the elite level that Line A does. My frustration with Line A recently is he has this great shot, but he just seems so tentative over the last handful of games, and I don't know what the reason for that is. I feel like it is a confidence thing, you know, like he's waiting for the perfect shot, and when you have such a great shot like that,
right?
The point of having a great shot like that is that you don't need to wait for the perfect shot. Just put it on net. And, you know, because he's capable of shooting it, you know, over 100 miles per hour, and he's capable of pinpoint accuracy. So he can get it through the tight windows. He can give it enough power that it could take the right kind of bounce and go in anyway. You know, there was the Philadelphia game. First two periods of that, I really did not like his play. I thought he was being way too tentative. Third period, he finally, it was a great pass from Boone Jenner to set him up, and he just let it unleashed on it, and it went in the net, top shelf. And it's like, yes, do more of that. But then I feel like the game since then, he's regressed again. You know, the game on Sunday against Ottawa, he had zero shot attempts at 5-on-5. And that's not just shot on goals, like didn't even miss a shot, didn't even have a shot block, did not take any attempts at a shot at 5-on-5 in that game. And that's just not acceptable. It just, they don't need to be good shots. Just take shots. I was looking at the numbers this season again, because I feel like he started the season so well. In those first 9 games, he was shooting 13%. Since he's come back from injury, he's shooting 10.7%. So the shots aren't falling maybe like they were at the start. But he took 23 shots in those first 9 games, and he has 28 shots in 11 games after the injury. So I feel like he's not shooting as much. And I also looked at comparing his Columbus tenure to his Winnipeg tenure, and he shot 15.2% in Winnipeg. He's shooting 12.3% in Columbus. So a little bit of bad luck there in Columbus, compared to when he was putting up 40 goals in Winnipeg. He also took 3 shots per game in Winnipeg, 2 shots per game in Columbus. Doesn't feel like a big difference, but, you know, 1 shot per game, that adds up. And especially when it comes some games where he has, you know, 6 to 10 shots on goal, and then other games where he has absolutely nothing. Because he's a one-dimensional player. Now, the one dimension is fantastic. Mm-hmm. The problem is when he's not doing anything with that one dimension, then what is he providing to the team? And like you said, when he's not playing well, it is very noticeable that he's not playing well.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you for doing your homework. That was seriously, that was illuminating. And I watch these guys, you know, at home and stuff, but I don't have all the numbers on deck like you do. But I think just from watching him play and just from his media availabilities and just things like that, I feel like he understands, obviously, the expectation of him is to be a productive goal scorer, or at least, fire shots on net. Because, again, of his dimensions, of which he has few, that's the big one, is being this line A laser. And stepping up when the team needs him, whether that's in overtime or just in general, putting shots on goal. And yeah, he has been doing that lately. And so I guess my read on his vibe is that he's kind of just stuck in his own head, because it's not like he's confused about the expectations that the team, that his coaches and that his teammates have of him. I think maybe he's just putting too much pressure on himself, and that's causing him to be doubtful, which is crazy. Because if I was, first of all, a hockey player, a lot of ifs here. If I was a hockey player and if I had a shot like that, I would want to be shooting all the time. So clearly, he knows that's what he should be doing. I just am I don't know. Again, I know he's just had a tumultuous couple of months. And so I'm kind of giving him a big benefit of the doubt there. I know he is capable of so much more. But exactly. I mean, when he's not hot, it's very, very evident. So I'm hoping that switch flips here pretty soon.
Sure. And for anyone that would, you know, accuse him of not caring or not trying, I don't think that's it. I think he does care. Like you said, I think he knows full well what the expectations are, and I do think the pressure might be getting to him there, but I don't think it's that he doesn't care. Think he's maybe not a guy that has a natural intuition for hockey, and so I feel like sometimes he's maybe thinking too hard about what he needs to be doing, which that's something that I would put on the coaches to put him in situations where he can play more instinctively and just trust his instincts and just put him, hey, we're not expecting anything from you other than, you know, get to the spot, shoot the puck, do that kind of thing. You know, maybe simplify the game for him. Maybe that could unleash him. Maybe that could take some pressure off. Or it could be the thing. I've talked about this a lot. I've written about this a lot. This probably sounds like a broken record, but shooters are streaky. Goal scorers often go through streaks, and sometimes very extreme streaks of hot and cold. And it could be the matter of, he just needs like one great game to get him going, and then he can just build on it from there.
Yeah, totally. I mean, again, Boone Jenner being I don't know. I just think that to play on a team with a player like that who wasn't a known goal scorer and was pretty cold prior to this season, I think to me that just shows that anyone in the NHL could do that, to step up and be that player for their team. And yeah, Laine is like a young guy and has a lot of stuff going on. And I think that he just hasn't quite been able to rise to that challenge yet. And I think that when he does, he'll be dangerous. I hope that that's with the Blue Jackets, but I think no matter what, as soon as he kind of gets outside of his own head of being tentative to shoot, then yeah, because if he's just rocketing pucks on net, like, you know, whether or not they're directly going in or they're ricocheting or whatever, like, that's all we need more offense like that. I mean, we famously are bad at scoring goals sometimes. So yeah, that's what we need.
Yeah. And I would, and we still have half the season left. So I would like to see the Jackets hold on to him through the season and see if he can work his way through it. And then make decisions in the summer as to whether or not to sign him or trade him. Roslovic, if the right offer comes along by the deadline, and move him then, that's fine. Because again, I think maybe some playoff team could see him as a role player that they could get something out of, you know, or maybe, again, if the right offer doesn't come along, then reconsider in the summer, maybe trading him then. But yeah, line A, let's definitely be patient and see if things can finally click, because I think there's certainly the chance that they could.
Yep, totally agree.
All right, on to our next topic. The week that was, the Jackets had a bit of an extended break because of a game that was postponed a few weeks back. They had had that horrific 9-2 loss at Florida, and I was, got to say, a little bit satisfied to see that in their first practice back, basically they were put through a bag skate. And it sounds like Brad Larsen also showed a different side of himself and that he was losing it at some players. He was raising his voice. He was getting into it, some guys. And honestly, after a loss like that, that's kind of what the team needed. And I was curious to see how they would respond to it. So they beat Philadelphia 2-1. They lost to Pittsburgh 5-2 in a game, though, that was a lot closer than that score says.
Totally.
But then they came out and they lost 2-1 to Ottawa, which was a game that I really thought that they should have won going into that. So What grade would you give the Blue Jackets for that entire week of effort?
I'm going to be harsh. I'm going to say like a C-, because a C is average. So maybe even like a D+, because like, ugh. And I know they had that big win over Carolina right before Florida, and like that was cool. But man, that Florida was just an F.
Yeah.
That was terrible. And then, yeah, sounds like they did get kind of a come to Jesus chat practice after that. But then, yeah, and so I would say that the bright spot in the past week of game, and then the Flyers was like kind of an ugly 2-1 win. Like, okay, mm-hmm. We'll take it. We needed it. I mean, but the Flyers are also famously incredibly on the struggle bus right now, too. So it was, I think the headline for that our preview for that was two desperate teams are playing each other. Yeah. And like literally, unfortunately, that's the scenario. So, but I thought they needed that win going into Pittsburgh Friday night. And first of all, that game was crazy because in the last 3 years that I've worked in the arena and at the home games, it felt like I was at an away Blue Jackets game. Mm. Like there were so many Pittsburgh fans there. And I know that that's like generally the case, but it was like when they were scoring, it was crazy because, and then obviously Crosby had his hat trick and everything, but it was, the vibes were bad for a Friday night home game in Columbus because it was so, it felt like 60-40 Pittsburgh. And then when they were winning and gaining momentum, it felt like even more, and Blue Jackets fans were leaving. It was crazy. I don't remember ever working another game exactly like that, even the Pittsburgh games. But they played well. The Blue Jackets played well. Like they looked good. They had opportunities. The score was unfortunate. I don't feel like it really reflected their effort. Not even their effort, but the quality of their play, because sometimes they try hard and still don't look good. But I felt like on Friday night, they tried hard and looked good. And then they weren't getting the results. And then, the Ottawa game was just disappointing. Like that, the one goal, Voracek to Kiraly, that looked awesome. That was great. And that was in the like last 30 seconds of the first period, which generally that's when the Blue Jackets are getting scored on. So it was great. But then, of course, they let one in, like, in 30 seconds of that top of that first period. So, and then just nothing. It was a very boring 2 periods after that, and the Senators scored. And that is not a team. I mean, we were making Forsberg look so good. Like, that was not a team that we should have lost to. So, I stand by, I'm going to say C- for the past week. If we're not counting the Hurricanes, then C-.
Yeah, so I would, if I was being generous, I would say C+. I'm not as concerned about the record because, you know, I know that this is not a playoff team. I know this might not even really be a 500 team even, and that's fine. You know, I'm not rooting for the team to tank. I don't think it's right to root for your team to lose. I think if your team is bad and they do lose, you can use the draft as justification for why you shouldn't feel as bad about it, you know, but in the moment, I want the team to win every game. After the fact, if they don't win every game, okay, fine, we're on schedule. I do take a positive away from it, which is I think this team has gotten so much better defensively. And this could even go back to shutting out Carolina, who's a tremendous team, and we shut them out, and then you take the Florida game out of it. The last three games we've had, really, really great defensive effort from the Jackets. I feel like anytime there is a loose puck after the goalie makes a save, a Jacket is there right on the puck, clearing it out, getting it up the defensive zone. And this is something we've struggled with all season. But this feels kind of like a return to the way they played defensively in December of 2019, you know, when things really started to turn around in that season. Now, what we're also seeing, which we saw back then, was as a result of that intense focus on defense, the offense suffers. So right. we need to find that happy medium of being responsible in the defensive zone, but like, let's not sacrifice all offensive aggression and creativity, all that. But, you know, the season is a work in progress. It's about development. So as far as baby steps go, it's nice to see that they were finally able to address the defense like I've been hoping that they would.
Yeah, and that's with a couple notable absences throughout the week in Boqvist and Gavrikov. So, and they still managed to, look right, because that is kind of, I feel like, the Blue Jackets' bread and butter, or at least it was, you know, obviously being a defensive powerhouse. And I feel like at the beginning of this season, like, something we were doing a lot was, like, leaving Corpy and Elvis out to dry in some situations, and I've been seeing less of that. So that has been good. I will say I did not watch the Florida game. So I mean, 9-2, that's horrendous. Whatever. I'm sure that was everybody's fault, not just goalies or defensemen or whatever. But anyways, I don't feel like they have been leaving their goalies in as many situations where they're just set up to fail. I think they kind of struggled with that in the beginning of the season. And I think they've been probably working on that because it needed to be fixed. It needed to be addressed. And especially with the goalies of the caliber that we have, I don't necessarily feel like their stats reflect some of the efforts that they make. I don't know. I feel bad for Corpy. I feel like always gets the short end of that stick.
Yeah. Well, and obviously Elvis has been getting that lately as well. Just so much, so many shots allowed, so many expected goals allowed, and the goalies have, it's been a tall order for them to even bail out the defense when it's been that bad. But then at the same time this week with the better defense, we've also seen better performances from the goalies on the shots that have gotten through as well. I thought Corpy was really strong against Pittsburgh, which I honestly didn't expect.
Yeah, he looked good.
And against both Philadelphia and Ottawa, I thought Elvis was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You said that Florida game, I watched parts of it. About halfway through, I stopped watching it because what was the point? I think it was a game where, everything went wrong. And it was a game where Florida scored a couple times early and things just spiraled out of control. So one thing I really loved about the Pittsburgh game is that the Penguins scored within the first minute or so of that one. And the Jackets didn't let things get out of control. They just stuck to their game plan, eventually got a goal back, tied it up, then took the lead in the first period. It was 2-2 there at the end of the first period. And, they kept the scoreless then through the second. It was just, Pittsburgh is red hot coming into it. Really strong team this year. And for 50 minutes of the game, the Jackets hung right with them. And I really thought we had something when Domi scored that goal. But once that was overturned, that's where I felt the composure left. And took a lot of dumb penalties after that. And that's what took them out of the game.
I forgot about that. You just reminded me. Giant bummer. I'm so tired. I am so tired. This is my very specific bone I have to pick with all those. I have been getting, I don't know what it is, but the goals that get overturned, I get great pictures of. And then nothing, I don't get to use them, or the team doesn't get to use them. And I had this great picture of Domi hugging, I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Bayreuther. It was one of the guys that's like not always on the roster. And, It was awesome. And then I'm like, man, if I had a dollar, and I know everyone feels that way, but like, God, it's just, and then, yeah, that really does just suck the momentum out of the room when that happens. And that is not a game where they could have really afforded a big momentum loss like that. And that's exactly what happened. And then, you know, Crosby with his freaking hat trick and everything else. So,
so bad.
I know.
You know, well, maybe for some gallows humor, you can do a post with pictures of celebrations of goals that didn't count.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. I'm sure I could put something together, because seriously, I'm like,
it's happened a lot.
Yeah, it has. It literally has happened a lot at home this season. It's been bad. So
yeah, so that's something you need to work on. Just practice not being offsides. All right. So in the little bit of time we've got left here, we've got a busy week coming up with 4 games, 2 sets of back-to-backs. First, Flames on Wednesday, followed by the Rangers, both in Columbus. The Flames were a surprise team at the start of the season. They got slammed by COVID. At some point, they had like 18 or so of their NHL players on the COVID list. They've struggled since then coming back. They've only won 3 of their last 10. The Rangers, though, are first in the Metro by points, third in the Metro by points percentage. Then over the weekend, the Jackets take a trip to Montreal, who are the worst team in the league. And then they get the Panthers at home. The Panthers, this is fascinating to me. At home, they are 21-3. And on the road, they are 7-6-5.
Wow.
So I watched parts of that game where the Jackets just got creamed. And then on Sunday night, I was watching parts of the Panthers at Seattle. And the Panthers looked very pedestrian against a not very good Seattle team. So I'm very curious to see, again, these teams rematch so soon, and also to see if the Panthers, again, if those road woes continue. And the Jackets are a team who I feel they play with more energy at home. So let's see if that changes. So what record do you think we will get? How many wins do you think we can get out of those 4 games?
Okay, well, if we don't beat Montreal, I'm going to have a serious problem, because that, like, yeah, it's going to be like how it felt last night losing to the Senators, but like times 5. So worse, yeah. I am going to say with 90% confidence we will have that win. Obviously, with the Panthers, it's personal. So I think you're exactly right. The Blue Jackets do have a better presence at home, and the Panthers, on the other side of that coin, have a worse presence on the road. So I think that would be kind of, you know, all of the circumstances aligning for the Blue Jackets to be able to perform well, should they choose to do so. Rangers, we're going to lose. And I just feel like that's been the theme of losing to the Rangers at home recently. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Someone can check me on that, but I feel like the last couple times Panarin's been in the house, we've lost. Yeah. Calgary, I wish them well on their COVID journey. So I feel like these Canadian teams are just getting smacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully we can overcome them as well. So I'm going to conservatively say bat 500 and hope that we win against Montreal and Calgary. Actually, I'm going to go at a nice 66%. Ooh. Well, I guess I can't do that, really. But I'm going to say I have a good feeling about this Panthers rematch.
Okay.
But I don't want to fully stake a 3-game. I'm already feeling good about 2. I'm feeling good about a Panthers rematch, but I could also see it going sideways very quickly. And I think we're going to lose to the Rangers. So that's my prediction.
I will say 2-2, but I will guess that we beat the Rangers. And this is based on absolutely no logic whatsoever. This is basically just be wish casting, but, and maybe even go 1-3, but with the win being over the Rangers, because that would make no sense. And the things that make no sense make sense for this team this year.
Yeah, that's totally correct. And I could, you know, I would not be surprised to see it play out that way because, right, like the beating the Hurricanes made no sense. And then immediately turning around and getting smoked by the Panthers made a little bit more sense, but like not really on the tails of the win that they just had. Right. So yeah, literally anything can happen. I do think that they will be, I don't know. I just really think that they will be on their, they should be on their A game. If for no one else, definitely the Panthers. And I also feel like the Rangers is always a personal game for them as well. But I just feel like we're not as equipped to perform well against them as we are the Panthers at home. So we'll see.
Any final thoughts?
Maybe my last final thought is that I am just absolutely loving all this snow. And I'm sorry that it caused some power outage issues in your neighborhood. Knock on wood, that has not been the case in Clintonville yet. But I have been taking a lot of walks in the snow, and it's been great. And that's my final thought.
Yeah, I am less crazy about taking walks in the snow because the sidewalks in my neighborhood are uneven, and the streets are a little slick, and I worry about the dog pulling me off balance. And
yeah.
So that's been a little bit less pleasant to stomp around in, but it is pretty to look at. I will give you that. So
I just moved along the bike trail. So, and they, OSU keeps that nice and plowed. So it's pretty safe. I wish this is when I wish I had a dog. I wish I had a dog to walk. So if you need a dog walker, let me know.
All right. Sounds good. All right. That'll do it for us this week. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week. For more content from The Cannon, go to jacketscannon.com. You can also follow The Cannon on Facebook and on Twitter at CBJCannon. If you like this podcast, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to subscribe on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Our theme music is the song Green Eyes by Angela Perley and the Howlin' Moons. Go to angelaperley.com for more music and show dates.